And now, the best of Pete Price. The best of Pete Price. On Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.
Let's say good evening to David Boyle. Hello, David.
Good evening.
Thank you very much for joining us. In sunny Blackpool.
Yes, it's been absolutely beautiful the last 2 days.
My favourite town.
All the chemtrails in the sky.
Right, my favourite town. First of all, before we talk about theorists, let's talk about the exhibition. Tell us what the exhibition's about.
Right, it's changed its name this year. It's expanded and gone 3 times bigger. At the present time, it's closed right now because we've expanded and moved down the road to what used to be the Doctor Who exhibition. And it opens on, we're trying very hard to have it open for the 2nd of April for Easter. And it's now much larger. We've now built a 32-foot flying saucer inside with interactive screen systems. We've now got aliens talking and the complete explanation of the workings of the universe simply done for most people to come in to have a visual outlook so we can explain it quicker because, of course, a picture speaks 1,000 words. So it's easier to explain genetic engineering, it's easier to explain what aliens look like and where they come from and why they're here by showing pictures and the cover-ups of course, you talk about your conspiracy. I don't say conspiracy theories anymore. Having checked them out, you find out that nearly all the major conspiracies are actual factual and you can follow it through, but you've got to check it out. And, of course, you don't believe what you're told by other people till you check the evidence.
Right, thank you. Right, David, let me ask you a simple question. It's a very simple question with a long, long answer. Why would people tell lies in the first place? Why has everything got to have a is got to be a conspiracy? Why can't something just be black and white?
I didn't say it couldn't be black and white, but the people that control the world have created a false illusion of history. They've created a complete new reality so that we, the ordinary people, will allow them to maintain their power and wealth in the same family groups for thousands of years.
Simple as that.
They've created a system where we believe what we've been told. And of course now it's breaking down. It's breaking down because we have the internet and we can go check and find out the evidence, what we couldn't possibly do in the past. One of the things that switched me on to finding out and checking myself was a book by a man named Eric von Daniken. And along with a few other people, he showed a picture of the Temple of Abydos in Egypt. And on this temple wall, there appears to what looks like to be a helicopter and possibly a tank or a submarine. And of course, it states this is a helicopter, this is a tank, this is a submarine. And when you look at it, it certainly does look like it. And there are no other hieroglyphics anywhere in Egypt that have a similar picture. So, of course, what do you do? When I was told this and saw it in the book, I thought, now. So I got up and I went to Egypt and I went to Abydos. And not only did I do that, I found out the people that could speak the language. And I spoke to them and I spoke to the archaeologists who could read the hieroglyphics. And we went down and looked at this plaque in this temple. And the plaque sits in the middle of a story. And the story is what Seti I did, right? And it's being told by his son, Ramesses II. And on the front of the temple, you've got a 20-foot-tall statue carved in the wall of him. And in his left hand, he holds the goddess of truth, Mat. And he's telling the truth of what his father did, Seti I. And Seti I, of course, was the gentleman that was involved at the time. And in front of the plaque is a cartouche, which we now know is a cartouche, is a name plaque, and it's a name plaque of a council, not an individual, but a council of what we know today as the Anunnaki. And that council's discussing what could happen. And I fervently believe that that plaque is correct in what it shows, a helicopter and a submarine. And of course, when you see that, and you know that there's only one way people can actually draw and make a helicopter and a submarine is if they've actually seen one. And that was the beginning of my opening my eyes and saying, hang on a minute, let's have a look around elsewhere. And we go and have a look at Aswan, at the place where they've dug out a gigantic needle, one of these, you know, stalled Cleopatra needles, one of these obelisks. It's over 1,000 tons. and it's still in the ground because it's cracked, so obviously it was rejected. 1,000 tons. And we're expected to believe that they hewn this obelisk out of the ground with tiny copper chisels, stuck him on small boats and transported him down the Nile to put outside temples. We're also told to believe that they put something like 3.5 million 2.5-ton blocks together, precisely, exactly in alignment. And that the pyramids, of course, we're told, and we find this out instantly, this is so easy to check, the pyramids are tombs for pharaohs. Lies. Not just straightforward information, but a total straightforward blank lie.
Why a lie?
It's a lie because no pharaohs were ever buried in the pyramids. They were all buried in the Valley of the Kings and the Valleys of the Queens.
But I thought they'd taken some bodies out of the...
They moved them into there. And the only one that we've got slight possibility is one pyramid.
Why would they do that?
Well, of course, you've got disinformation going on all by the time in the past. I mean, if you ever remember Petri, who discovered the Petri city in Jordan, right? He was told, and was funded by a Christian organisation, was told if any information came out and was published by him of anything that contradicted the Bible stories, then he would have his funding withdrawn. So we have this situation where the people who control us do not want us to book the story that we've all been given.
Let me stop you there and ask you a question, because we've never spoken before, and I'm certainly not poo-pooing you in any shape or form. I never will. But is your life based around conspiracies? Can you ever believe something is black and white? Or...
Oh, yes, there are many black and white things that you come across.
Right.
But when you check them out, you'll soon find out whether they are black and white.
But do you check everything out?
I check as much as I possibly can, humanly possible, in the time. I mean, I did fall victim when I first started on the exploration trail of repeating what other people had told me without checking the evidence, until one day I suddenly realised I was passing on information, having not checked it, that then when I did check it, wasn't as accurate as I thought it should be.
What was the biggest, or what is the biggest story you were sitting on that nobody believes you?
A lot. I've got about 7 of them.
Well, give me one really, really big one.
Okay. Really big?
Yeah.
We can talk about? Well, I'll give you the main one. I'll give you the two most important things now. The two most important you've already mentioned in your introduction. 9/11 wants to be clarified. And the other one is your history's totally wrong. The archaeology of the stones does not match the story. And it doesn't matter where you go over the world, you find the technology producing the ancient monuments was far in advance of the capability that we believe those people could do at the time. So it shows you that in the past, we were far more intelligent and advanced than we believe we are today. And if you want to know the reason why we went backwards in time, the answer is quite simple. Atomic nuclear wars. And that's why we have deserts today on this planet.
So you believe there was...
The remains of the nuclear wars are still in those deserts.
So are you saying there was a war?
Yes. There have been 3 nuclear wars. We have the traces on this planet of 3 nuclear wars. The first one that we can trace in back in time is about 180,000 years ago. A second one about 50,000 years ago. And the last one was in 2023 BC, when they destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in a flash with fire and brimstone. So when you start looking at the pictures and stories from the Bible, you can piece it together very quickly. And of course, if you go to Woomera in Nevada and look at where the sites were, where the nuclear detonations were, you'll find the destruction of the blast area was then superseded by the intense spreading out of the heat, which burnt every single thing right down to the original crystal sand, and then, of course, melted the sand into glass. And all of our deserts have got sheets of glass exactly the same as at Woomera in Nevada, going back to 3 periods of time.
Let me ask you, in all your years, I don't know what sort of age you are, but in
I'm 61.
Right, we're the same sort of age. Well, in all your years... The conspiracy theories have gone bigger, haven't they, since the internet? Because
the conspiracy theories are becoming more and more well known because of the internet, specifically because it's allowing people to see and to check.
Yeah, but David, let me ask you the question. The question is, there's so many lies printed on the internet. What do we know what to believe?
Well, you have to work out on your gut instinct and check out what fits into what you already know. Right. And then check it against evidence by going in, if wherever possible, having a look. I mean, just look at the size, right, of the city of Baalbek in the Lebanon. It's built on blocks of sandstone that weigh 800 tons that were moved across uneven ground, laid flat and built a city on. And of course, I mean, you only have to look at the scientists themselves, mm-hmm. right? The different archaeologists are giving different stories all the time. They're forever pushing back the approachment of mankind and its consciousness levels. But they still will not agree that there was a more advanced civilization in the past. But they built things that we can't build today. I mean, our technology is only just capable now of moving stones that weigh 800 tons. And that's with gigantic cranes and capabilities. We're expected to believe that they moved the stones at Baalbek in about 4000 BC, according to the government. Now, I'll tell you, that's a lot older than that, by the way. It's a lot older than 4000 BC. We are expected to believe that hairy barbarians, basically, with ropes and things, moved stones that weigh 800 tons and moved them across uneven ground. Come on. I mean, where are you going to get wood that can roll that doesn't splinter under weights like that? Where are you going to get sufficient labour to move it and cut it? And not just that, but to line it all up. And the same stones from the same quarry, slightly less weight at 400 tons, were in the base of the Parthenon. They'd had to travel them across sea. How do you move a block of stone on a flimsy wooden ship across the sea? Come on. It doesn't work. It doesn't work because the evidence is everywhere. But the people who control us immediately come out and say not. Then when anyone comes and says something, it's a hoax, right? Who's got the name PhD after their name, right? Immediately, people instantly believe that. So straight away, everything that an expert comes along. But I mean, I'm sure you've all listened to the experts recently on every subject you can imagine, and they're all being shown up to be, in many cases, wrong. The experts aren't the experts. They're the ones who think they know more about a subject than you. So go out and check it yourself. Don't believe me? So let's hit the one, we go back to pyramids. What's a pyramid for? You told it's a tomb for a pharaoh. No pharaohs are buried in the Valley of the Kings. So it's not a tomb for a pharaoh. But what a better way, what a much better way of stopping you finding out what it is by telling you what it is. So you already know it's a tomb for a pharaoh, so you don't look at it and investigate what is it actually for and why is it in that position. And then you start looking around and say, hang on a minute, where are the pyramids? And of course you find out that in 1922, they discovered three pyramids in Europe. Excuse me, in Europe? That doesn't match the Bible stories. That doesn't match all the other things. And these pyramids, by the way, are in Bosnia. And they're as big as the ones in Egypt. So why don't we know that? And of course, the pyramids in China, the Great White Pyramid, is even bigger than one in Egypt. And then something that's so easy to set out. Are you ready for this one? Every pyramid complex is laid out to the stars. So what is a pyramid for? One of the major secrets of the pyramids, I'm going to disclose and expose for everybody. So if everyone will just take a little time, think very carefully about what I'm going to do and tell you, and then please go and work it out yourself and check it. Right. Right now, I've had many experiences, including interaction with extraterrestrials, which is a secret I will go through, not now, but in another program. Our history is totally wrong. And right now, I'm writing my autobiography to make sure that my information and knowledge and experiences I've had is not lost when I leave this planet. All of the civilizations in the past that were advanced to a certain level did their autobiography. And if you don't understand that, let's put it this way. The material that lasts the longest on this planet is one that vibrates to the frequency of the Earth, which is stone. So they chose to write their autobiographies in stone. And then they wanted people to realize how much knowledge and wisdom that they'd had that they could pass on. So they encoded in stone information. So what information could you put in stone? Of course, they then had to show you that it was artificial. So they made an artificial structure. Now, what type of artificial structure do you put on a planet over a long period that moves with volcanoes and earthquakes? The ideal structure, of course, is a bottom-heavy, pointed structure as a pyramid. So they chose to make pyramids. They then encoded in those pyramids their information. So how do you encode information in a pyramid for a long, long time? The method, of course, is normally you would expect them to encode pictures or writing. But, of course, if you use a language, would you use English, Chinese, Dutch, Russian? No. But is there a language that all intelligent people on this planet can communicate when they reach a certain level of knowledge? And the answer is yes. The two languages that we can communicate in when we reach our level of consciousness is the language of mathematics and the language of sacred geometry. Now, to encode mathematics into stones is quite a complex system. We could put a pile of 3 bricks and a pile of 4 bricks, a gap, and then 7 bricks. But we'd be forever laying miles and miles and miles of bounds doing all the different mathematics. But once we've gone past the basics of plus, minus, multiplication and division, we come to formulas and constants. Now, a constant is very important. If something never changes, it's constant. Now, if we enclose mathematics and we're looking at formulas, is there a mathematical formula that's constant? And the answer to that is yes. It's called the universal constant. And it's pi. That pi, of course, for those that aren't too mathematically inclined, is the circle of the outer part of a circle called the circumference. The diameter through the center in a straight line from one side to the other, the diameter always divides into the circumference 3.141 times. So it doesn't matter how big the circle is, whether it's 1 inch in diameter or 1,000 miles, that formula to find the circumference from the diameter is constant. So it never ever changes. So we're going to encode into stone. So how do you put that formula 3.141 into stone? Well, one way of doing it is to cut a block of stone and have one side 1 inch and the other side 3.141 inches. And bingo, you have the pi ratio. Or pi, quite often as a fraction, is stated as 22 over 7. So we could get a stone and stand it up that's 22 measures high by 7 wide. And we got the pi ratio. Now, we could also make it difficult for you to find it, but encode it. So we've got to logically look for it. We could get 3 stones, 2 long ones and a short one, and put it over the top. So that not only looks like the pi sign that we use, but if it's 22 high and the central measurements between the stones are 7, then you've got encoded within it the pi ratio. So now you all know what the triathlons at Stonehenge are, because they're all laid out exactly to the pi ratio. And just to get you right with the people that know the truth, the ones that keep the knowledge to themselves, the secret societies, practically every doorway to every Egyptian temple is 22 by 7, along as well as many of the Masonic lodges have the tall door, 22 by 7, which of course you wouldn't get in. And in ancient Egypt, you couldn't enter the temple until you could explain to the priests what the outside door measurement was.
What purpose would it be for people to keep these sort of information from us?
Well, the purpose of this is to share knowledge and to spread knowledge. You see, you learned from school and university and lectures by having books that other people had already written. So they put down the basics. Now, let's continue. So now we've got a vehicle in stone, which is artificial, and it's on the planet. So where do we place it? We place it by intelligence, don't we? Now, the most important of all pyramids is, without doubt, the Great Pyramid in Egypt. Are you ready for this one? It's placed exactly on the pi ratio of the planet. If you take the sphere of the Earth, North and South Pole, and cut it in half, and go right through the Great Pyramid and through the North Pole, and you travel from the North Pole across the circumference to the centre of the Great Pyramid, it's 3,983 miles exactly, which is also the exact radius of the planet from the North Pole to the centre of the planet. And they'd actually placed it in the pi ratio exactly on the planet. Check this out. And not only that, they then encoded it this way intelligently. The 4 corners of the Great Pyramid fit exactly to the 4 cardinal points of north, south, east and west. And then they placed it in the centre of all the land masses. Now, take a globe, take a felt pen, find the Great Pyramid, and travel right round the globe on the same line of latitude till you come back again to the Great Pyramid. And you will actually pass across more land on that latitude than any other part of the planet per ratio to the ocean, both horizontally and vertically. So it sits in the exact centre of the land masses. Now, this is not a theory. This is actual fact, scientifically brought out, but they don't tell you. It's placed by intelligence on the exact pi ratio of the planet in the centre of the land masses, right? And when you know that, you suddenly have to say, hang on a minute, how could they place it in the centre of the land masses unless they travelled across the entire planet and knew every single part of the planet, both latitude and longitude? And how could they put the pi ratio in position unless they knew the whole of the intelligence structure to work it from? Fact, not fiction. And that very fact alone, which can be verified everywhere you go, that your history is wrong, because that pyramid was placed by intelligence that had the capability of travelling around the planet in all directions to control it all, to understand it, to be able to position it.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
What does it matter?
What does it matter?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you are being taken down the garden path all the time, and certain people have got all the money, power and wealth while everybody else is the slaves for them, and you're a slave, do you really want them to continue doing that? Because knowledge is power. Power is control. So they hide the true knowledge of the workings of the universe and our true history so that we, of course, won't rise up against these people. The people that control us know the truth. We live in a democracy. No, we don't, because you've never voted anybody in. It's already selected before you get a chance to do that. And when you realise these people are controlling it. So now we've found out that the pyramids. Now, if I was to ask you, Peter, to make me a table, you'd ask three questions. The first question is, what material? The answer is stone. The second question you'd ask is, how big? The Great Pyramid contains the weights and measures and distance of volumetric awareness, which gives us the mathematical capability to then to create and make things, and to measure things, and to travel things. And, of course, the three pyramids in Egypt are lined up to Orion's belt. And not only that, linked in at angles and degrees, you'll find that the pyramids at Saqqara, the Red Pyramid and the Bent Pyramid, make the Great Bear constellation exactly in ratio. And not only is it done in Egypt, it's done in England. There's a map from John O'Groats to Land's End, based at Avebury, starting at Avebury, where the Great Bear constellation is laid out on the ground, then duplicates in scale and reaches from John O'Groats to Land's End. Everywhere was already mapped out and laid exactly thousands of years ago. And then you find the same map in nearly every major country. And then you start to find keys to unlock how things work. And once you've found this basic information to start to activate in your mind, you then see, well, hang on a minute, what does this lead to? It leads to far more knowledge. And then you suddenly start to find out about the linking, and a lot of our scientists are beginning to ask questions now when they're finding out that what we're being told doesn't match the theories and the reality of working.
But isn't it better to stick to modern day? Isn't the history history? Isn't that gone, done and dusted? Isn't it better to find out what's going on in the real world?
Well, how do you know to make a better world unless you realise how bad it was in the past?
Yeah, but nobody will believe you.
Who won't believe me?
Nobody will believe you.
I'm
we're having
40,000...
David, well, maybe 40,000, but we're getting people now saying, ringing up now, with the greatest respect, saying you are talking double Dutch.
Well, I've just told you how to check out the pyramids.
Right.
I've told you how to check out the ratios. I've told you to check out...
No, you talk very complicated. It's very complicated.
It's not very complicated. I've tried to explain it slightly. The pyramids are placed by intelligence on the pi ratio of the planet exactly. The Great Pyramid is exactly in line, placed in the centre of all the land masses, right? And it contains within it all angles and degrees and measurements, the volumetric awareness, or should I say, the lengths and measures and weights that we can measure things and build things from, are all contained within the Great Pyramid and the other pyramids that it links to. This is not sort of thing, this is not theory, because we can prove it. Come and spend 5 minutes with me and I'll show you. You can go on the internet, we can find the things. Let's start looking on the internet.
But we said before, hang on, we said... No, but hang on, David, we said before, the internet tells dreadful lies. Anybody can put anything on.
Of course the internet tells dreadful lies. And what have I said before? Go out and check it. I went to Egypt and I checked Abydos and it's there and it's real. solid in your face. You can go to Baalbek in the Lebanon and see those blocks of stone level. You can go to South America and see the Lego houses built with blocks of stone that weigh 2,000 tons. A Lego building system on the ground in South America at Puka Puka. It's real. I mean, go to look at the Aztec walls that are put together so tight we can't even do it today. You can't pass air through them. Never mind a razor blade or a needle, as we do in the Great Pyramid central sections. You can't do that. The technology in the past to do it all was far more advanced than what we've got now. And then, of course, you look at it. Why would they do this? Why would they leave their history and their knowledge? And we've decoded their history and knowledge now. We find a totally different picture of creation. We find a totally different picture of reality. We find that what we've got belief systems, which have been imposed on us since we went to school, university and religions, we suddenly find out that has been given to us. We find out it's wrong. And when you find out it's wrong, you ask the question, why? Why have we been told things are wrong? And when you check it out, then you realise, of course, it's all to do with control. It's the same people who've had all the money, power and wealth for thousands of years have kept it in the same families. Have you ever asked yourself that question? How come it's the same families? Have you not noticed in our political structures, people, it's the same families and same people running all the time in the top levels? Do you realise those people know exactly what's going on? They're not going to share it with you or me
Does it make you ill, all this information?
No, it doesn't. It makes me quite happy that I've found it out. So now I share it with everybody I know. I share it with every people. Tomorrow night, I'm on Edge TV between 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock. Live TV interview. I'll be showing the pictures of all these places. I mean, I can't show you the pictures on here now, but I'd love to show you the pictures of the star maps right across Britain, from John O'Groats to Land's End. And excuse me, it's not a case of potentially, is that possible? It's there. You can go check them. And when you go and see the ancient monuments all lined up to the star constellations from one end of England to the other in two scales, excuse me, why hasn't your archaeologist told you that?
Right, well, let's leave all this about the pyramids and the stars and everything. Let's come up to modern day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me something that you are convinced about that is a conspiracy theory around one of the big stories, like 9/11. Yeah.
Okay, we'll go on to 9/11.
Right.
Okay. May I say that 3 days after 9/11 happened, I made a DVD called Our Beautiful Home, in which I explained that I believed that the incident in America was orchestrated by the people that control the world. I made it in a DVD. It's available. You can get the letter. It's called Our Beautiful Home. I tried to explain into it the anomalies and what was wrong and why we should do it. And I'm very proud to say that when Bush went to get his second reading at the United Nations to try and make the law, the war illegal, that I was one of the major people that prevented that. I wrote 11,000 letters. Did you hear that? Yes, 11,000 letters of the word, and wrote the document Blood for Oil. And if you've not read that document, please read it. We sent a copy to every MP, every Euro MP, every senator, every congressman, every single member of every United Nations team for every country. And on the Security Council, we made sure that the members of every single one of the Security Council's ministers in each countries of China, Germany, France, Britain, and America, every one of those ministers had a letter of Blood for Oil. Even sent one to people like lots of oddities like Nelson Mandela. And I received some lovely letters back from Nelson Mandela confirming the information. And it was good to see before the war, and they went to get that second reading, all over the world there were thousands of placards held up that said, no blood for oil. So when people say one person can't make a difference, they certainly can. So we've all had investigations. You've all had disinformation on 9/11. But has anybody asked you why it happened and the real reason behind it?
Why?
Right. America had just lost a war. It was called Vietnam, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me why Vietnam, right, ceased? What caused America to withdraw from Vietnam?
I presume because they couldn't win it, because they didn't know the country, they didn't know the layout, and they didn't realise the power that they had.
No, America could have kept pumping money and people into it. They withdrew because of public opinion in America. there were riots in America, in the universities, the campus, and all over America to get out of America. It was the public opinion pressure that forced America to withdraw from Vietnam. The public opinion. Now, the people who rule the world have what they call think tanks, where they have these supposedly super intelligent people that sit down and play chess with all movements and potentials on the planet and all potential war scenarios and enemies, and sit there working out all the different sections, right? So it became quite obvious that the need for any future involvement in military would have to make sure that the public opinion was on their side. And what a better way to do it? What a better way to look for the control? Britain used to count its possessions in colonies. America counts its possessions in military bases. America has 170 military bases in other countries. Do you really think a country with a military base by America in its and on its property is independent? Of course it's not. And if you want to know where the biggest terrorist training camp in the world is, it's Fort Benning in America. Fort Benning trains the people that's overthrown the democratically elected people in South America and in many other countries. These are the instigation, these are the insurgents that go out and destroy the democratically organized, in many cases, people. If it's got anything to do whatsoever with the financial aspects of the game of the multinational cabal companies that rule the world, you can be sure that they put so much pressure on the American government to intervene. America then decided, via the fact that you need the oil. Now, I went onto a television program recently, and before I mentioned the word soldier, and before I could say any more, I was savagely attacked and said, don't you mention our British soldiers, etc., etc., etc. In the First World War, the Germans said of the British, they were lions led by donkeys. Let's look at what our soldiers are today. Lions. Courageous. Following the belief systems. Doing their duty. Following the orders. Who's giving the orders? The orders came from, of course, their superiors, their officers. Their officers, many of them are, of course, fully aware, but most of them, totally dedicated to their belief systems, their regiments, have followed their orders and given. But where do they get their orders from? They get the orders from the British government. And the British government gets their orders from where? The American government. And why do they get them from the American government? Because we made a treaty with America that we would go to war on America's side if they were ever involved in a war. We agreed that. And in exchange for that, they allowed to sell us Trident submarines. So, we had signed an agreement with America. If they were involved in a war, we would support them. So, of course, who tells the American government? Of course, you've got this group of people at the top of American government. And they are the donkeys that's leading our soldiers. And those donkeys wanted oil. And they wanted the future oil supplies of Iraq, which has 46% of the world's future oil. But of course, they couldn't invade because of public opinion. So they created a lie, an Al-Qaeda created by themselves, which could move from country to country so that they could, of course, exploit the resources of those countries. And we were dragged in it. That's why we had a war on terrorism, so that we would be dutifully embowed to be conned by them to go and send our troops out there to make sure the oil flows into whose refineries? Whose refineries? Rumsfeld? Bush's? The people at the top of America run the oil cartels, and all the oil is required for their benefit. So to make sure the oil goes, they created 9/11. They flew their own planes into the towers. That's why you've never seen a slow motion replay of the plane actually hitting the towers. There was only one film of the first plane hitting the first tower. But there was loads of the second one because they were there filming the response of the first and they caught the second one flying in it. Have you seen a very slow motion replay? Only the people that's investigated it have. Why is it not on television showing you it's slow motion? Because when you see the plane slow motion on a computer and blown up, underneath it is something that should not be on that plane. It's either a missile pod or some form of weapons pod. And of course, when we see it approaching the building, one third of a second away, there's a flash which is independent to it on the right-hand side, which of course then shows you that there's something created that flash, which is even shown reflecting on the fuselage from some cameras. And that plane then fires in. And I believe that that flash is the firing of a missile underneath. The missile deliberately had to be fired, because if it didn't, you had the potential that the planes, which were full of aviation fuel, and the fuel that they were not actually airliners, I believe them to be 737 in-flight refuel tankers built on the same airframe as the planes that supposed to have been the passenger planes. And they flew them in the side. And you can see this flash on all of the footage, which was broadcast live at the time of the incident. You cannot alter or change footage which is broadcast live at the time of the incident. And we've all got this footage. Just blow it up on your TV, on a computer, slow it down, and see it going slowly, and you'll see the flash. And you'll see what appears to be the explosion. Why did they fire a missile in it?
David, we can go on and on about 9/11 because so many people have got their own theories as well, and there's tons and tons on the internet, as you know.
Yes.
You made a very interesting point in the middle of that conversation where you said the people that rule the world, do you believe that there is a greater organisation than just the governments?
Oh, yes. The governments don't rule the world. First of all, money is the controlling power. Totally, money is the controlling power, not the governments. The governments do as the money tells them, right? Their money linking in comes from that, and it shows that situation. And money is the power base that's utilised to corrupt everything else to make sure they get what they want. And, of course, they're not beyond utilising the ultimate deterrent to people. They coerce, they change, they alter. Democracy doesn't exist and has never really existed. I mean, simply just look and go back in time and look at when Bush got elected. He had a fight. And, of course, it was so even that the only person what happened, instead of redoing it again, they went to court and the only person who got the money to be able to cover it was Bush, so he became president. And then you start looking at the situations. Whatever democratic capability is produced, it gets along the lines. And, of course, if it doesn't be the necessary information or give the result that the Illuminati, the people that rule the world, want, they of course then keep doing it until they get the story they want, like Ireland with the treaty, the Lisbon Treaty. They said no. So of course they pressurised Ireland over and over again until Ireland said yes, we'll do it again, until they got the yes. Money pressurises it, utilising people. They call it lobbying and changing, but of course democracy is now gone. There never was a democracy. We believe there's democracy, but we all know that there's no democracy. Don't matter who you go for, nothing ever changes. It's just a change round of the same faces. And I mean, let's look carefully. The last chance our government had the opportunity of having any power whatsoever, they gave it away to Brussels. So can you tell me, why do we have all those people down in London? Because they can't make any laws. It's got to come from Brussels. So right now, we're supplying a lot of money, the ordinary people in this country, for all the politicians, they've got no power at all whatsoever because they signed it all away. They gave it all away to Brussels. So, you know, there are many, many levels. I mean, at one point, we came across some people who were telling us that there are 28 levels of secrecy above the United States of America's president. And I'm quite confident that above the level, it boils down to the same group of people who have controlled the world in the same families for thousands of years. And, of course, they're the offshoots of the creation consciousnesses. They're the ones that understand it, and they maintain the stories that keeps them in the power. They maintain and keep forward the understandings.
But who is in charge of this group, the people that rule the world? Who's above them?
The what we call the Illuminati, I'm sure you've known this.
I've heard the word.
Illuminati means illuminated. Illuminated means knowledgeable. It means wisdom. It means full of the light of creation to give them a higher levels of consciousness. They are the people who control. They control by the utilization of finance and power. The power and is controlled by the finance. It's the money at the base that controls it all. And right now we have this situation. I mean, what more ludicrous, evil situation have we got on the planet right now than you've got these bankers giving themselves billions of pounds worth of bonuses, while at the very bottom end, thousands of people are losing their homes through mortgages. If you just give the bonuses at the bottom to the lot of people, you wouldn't have the mortgages going out, you wouldn't have the people in trouble, and we wouldn't have these super rich people at the top who don't know what to do with the money anyway. The reality is, they are so greedy, and they're covering up. Now, I'm going to tell you, what's been going on for a long time is quite horrendous in the banking trades. The non-existent supply of money, utilised by the fact that America used to back their money by dollars. This is something from 9/11 that really links it to Gately. In 1972, the French wanted their money back, because after the Second World War, America just printed money, printed money, printed money, and became so rich and powerful by printing money, vast amounts more than they'd actually got, and they took over the position of power on the planet. When the French in 1972 wanted their money, they sent all the dollars to America and said, can we have the gold? And they couldn't give it to them because they hadn't got the gold to cover just the French. So they went to Saudi Arabia, the Americans, and created OPEC. And therefore, from that moment on, the US mighty dollar was backed by oil. And of course, we know this. And what did Iraq do with their oil? They were selling it in euros, which, of course, undermined the American military presence and undermined the American dollar. And, of course, do you remember Bush landing on the aircraft carrier and saying, mission accomplished? Did you know that was the last day a barrel of oil was sold out of Iraq in euros? And now you're going to find out that's what one of the major reasons was. Today, we've overprinted money to the tune of approximately 90%. There is no backing behind it. And all the bankers at the top know this is a truth. And they're now paying off all the people underneath to keep them quiet to what's been going on in all the shady interdealings between banks and banks and banks. And that's what most of these bonuses are. And it's time we stood up and said no more bonuses. No one should ever pay a bonus to anybody in a company that owes any money to anybody. They should only get bonuses when every single thing's being paid and every debt and every bill has been paid off so that nobody else loses, and then the bonus should come possibly on the top, but not at the levels of lucrativity that they're stealing and taking away now. It's an obscene fact that these people are getting more in bonus than most people earn in the whole year. And that's not the only ones. It's look at your government. Excuse me, we all pay taxes. I can't claim for all the silly daft things that the government can claim for. Why not? If they can claim for it, why can't I claim for it? And what did he say? There's no law stopping them. But the moral law's there. They had no right to do it in the first place. Nobody gave them that opportunity. They just took it. And they took more and more and more with greed. And, of course, we're paying the price now. We have totally corrupt politicians. There's very few politicians can speak the truth. I mean, the old adage when they used to say, well, when's a politician lying, when his lips are moving? It's pretty close now, isn't it? And everybody out there knows it. And everybody out there knows we're also in Iraq and Afghanistan for the oil. And we all know that. But how many people have got the guts to sit around and say, well, why are we there for the oil? And there's the answer. Because to maintain world power and domination, you have to have the world's future supplies of oil coming to you. It's not a coincidence. It's not mentioned very often. But George Bush's company, called Unocal Oil Company, was the one that discovered the 6 trillion barrels of oil under the Caspian Sea in Russia. And then announced in the Times the only way to get the oil to market is in a pipeline through Afghanistan, which then resulted, of course, in the Russians saying, hell, there's no good having the oil unless we control its distribution. That's when Russia invaded Afghanistan, and that's why they did it. And what happened? They got splattered. Because of resistance by America, who gave technology to the Mujahideen, Russia lost, I think it was 150,000 men and went bankrupt trying to take Afghanistan. Excuse me. America was given Afghanistan by the clever, intelligent use of their own people's deaths to drag them through. And this is what your governments have done. They flew their own planes in their own towers to put public opinion on their side, to seek revenge, to go over there, to get these killers, where in actual fact, you try getting the White House, because that's where it came from, and the people that's involved in that consciousness level. And that's the reality. It's those are the people. They are the terrorists. They are the insurgents. I mean, you go to Iraq and Afghanistan. Can you tell me, of the millions killed over there, how many do you ever think really would have come over here and done any work? 10? A dozen at the most? We've gone over there and killed millions? Of course, so, if you kill everybody, there's nobody there to stop you taking the oil and the minerals and to keep the oil flowing.
Let me ask you a story. When you read a newspaper,
yes,
do you believe what you read or do you have to look into every story?
I try to look into the majority of the stories.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly don't read anything to do with celebrities and things. I don't watch, unfortunately, I haven't got the time to watch football and things, although I do like cricket and rugby. I just don't have time to watch them. I'm checking out information and I'm building things and I'm writing books and doing DVDs and writing my own autobiography.
David, is it an obsession with you?
I wouldn't say it was an obsession. I live for it. I mean, let's find out the truth. Let's share this information. Let's teach. Let's give it out. I mean, I travel everywhere to give information out. And quite often it's brilliantly received. And the number of people that write, send me emails in thanking me for waking them up. And you know what's been brilliant recently? I started doing this in a big way about 15 years ago. When I first started, the number of people that come at me and said, "You're crazy, you're just a lunatic, you totally got it wrong." In the last 6 months, I've had an awful lot of those people come back to me now and say, "I apologise. I'm sorry. I suddenly said what I said. I've looked at what you're saying and it's right. Everything I've just told you, you can check. Check the sequence of events that's gone on all the way through. Check the information I've just told you. Have a good look at all, and you'll see that you've got a logical conclusion." That then really led me on to saying, right, how does things work? What is atoms? What is solar systems? What are everything? Who are humans? What are we? Where did we come from? Where are we going? Why are we here? And I've discovered most of the answers. And you know what? They're encoded in stone across most of the planet. Because the information contained in the pyramids and the temples we've decoded now, and they give us a totally picture, different picture of creation and life and history. And of course, it's carved in stone. And once you've decoded it, which we have done, we're prepared to share that information with everyone. I wrote a book called Children of the Stars. Right, it's got four DVDs in it. It's the DVDs which are important. It's only a small page book, but it's got the pictures of explanations in it. It's £30, but it certainly wakes everyone up. People say, "Oh, you're in it for the money." Excuse me, I've sold a lot of books, but I'm still going to be a long, long, long time before I get that book's costing production back again. I don't charge for talks and lectures. I give my information free because I care for everybody on this planet. And I've had soldiers in our exhibition crying their eyes out when they've actually watched the planes flying in the motion, in the towers in slow motion. And when we've explained all the things and put them together, it's a great shame that the truth of the workings of the universe is not shared by everybody. I'm available. Anybody wants to contact me, my email address is universalstudy@aol.com, and I try to answer most of the letters. Our new exhibition will be open on 2nd of April. Anyone wanting to know anything about conspiracies of many styles, they're on the wall there for you. Please come along and have a look and have a read. If we've got the time, we'll spend as much time as we can. Come along with your questions, and we'll be surprised. We can answer nearly all the questions. We can't answer every question, but nearly all of them. We know who we are, what we are, where we come from, where we go, where we are. The paranormal no longer exists for us because we understand it. It's now becoming understanding. All the unexplained items we can explain. When you understand how the universe works, which is what we've concentrated on, we've seen that we've been given information. Recently, I did a series of talks and lectures and ceremonies on ley lines and central points. As I did each one, starting on the 3rd of June, right through till the end of October, every time I did a talk and a lecture, a massive crop circle appeared in the AB area, covering exactly what we were talking, particularly of a future solar system, what it's going to be like after 2012, and for the new governances on the planet, which gives equal ability for everyone. And gives us true democracy, councils of 12. All this information we've put together, ready to come out. I do this because I care. I care for every animal, every being, every person that walks on this planet. And every time I feel sorry for a soldier or an airman who blows up a wedding party in Iraq and Afghanistan, because they've got to live with it.
David, let me ask you a question. You, my producer told me you have many, many, many theories, conspiracy theories. Hundreds?
I do. Yeah. Well, I've got 160 different talks. Right. Not all on conspiracy. Right. Nothing like that.
Right, all right. But the question I wanted to ask is there one thing that you can say on this program tonight that is so shocking, even though it's not true, you can't believe it yourself?
I'm disgusted at the depth of depravity our leaders have gone for power and greed to commit genocide practically to nations. That's what I'm disgusted at.
David?
Our governments, American governments, they blow their own people up to make sure that everyone behaves. And when you know that, and you see that they're manipulated, they care not for life, they care not for the planet, they care not for any form of understanding except their own corporate money. One of the worst criteria that I find is the pharmaceutical industry's control of drugs passing into human beings, right, deliberately just for money, power and wealth.
Let me ask you one more question before we go.
Yes.
David in Birkenhead has said, why should we be indoctrinated by someone who is a conspiracy theorist?
I wouldn't say I was a conspiracy theorist. It's not a theory. I'm telling that whoever that person is, check out the information I've just given you. Go on the internet and look at the stones in Baalbek. Ask an engineer how he could move stones now across uneven ground at that weight. Do it, and you'll be quite surprised.
What's your website?
My website's allthatis.co.uk. And unfortunately, I'm very ashamed to say, I haven't even looked at it myself for a year. I'm just too busy.
You're too busy. And what's the book? When are we going to have the autobiography?
The autobiography is a long time off coming. One of the other things that I'm going to tell you now, two things here. But it's a total and utter lie about global warming. I've been teaching this ever since I first heard the word. There is no energy crisis. That's another total and utter lie. And there's no food shortage crisis. That's yet another lie. Everything's kept scarce for the profit makers at the top. And the scarcer they can keep it, the more they can get for it. And on the form of energy, you might be pleased to know, I'm in the process of building a solar power station. And I'll give you the clues. With a 3-inch magnifying glass, I can make a fire. Right? I've just built the biggest magnifying glass in the world. 6 meters wide and 60 meters long. What can I do with that? Be surprised.
David, thank you very much for joining us. Please come on again.
It's a pleasure talking to you, Peter.
Please come on again.
Please, thank you.
Bye-bye, David.
Late Night City with Pete Price on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.
Marcus Allen is from Nexus Magazine. We have spoken before, a very interesting man that you certainly can't win an argument with, so I'm not even going to try. Tell me, why do we have to have conspiracies? Why can't something just be black and white?
I wish it could. I really do. It would make life so much simpler. Because conspiracies really come about when usually people in authority make some pronouncement, and then there are people who will say, hey, that's not exactly right. What you've just said isn't the whole truth. It could well be a different answer. I mean, the conspiracies go back, I suppose you could say the first one was the JFK assassination, and we were told it was a lone gunman, Lee Harvey Oswald, who killed the US president at the time, John F. Kennedy, back in 1963. And a lot of people found it very hard to believe that one person could do what he was claimed to have done. So then the American government came along with the Warren Commission report, which said exactly that a lone gunman had killed the US president. And a lot of people looked at the evidence presented and found fault with it, and found it wasn't complete evidence. It didn't stand up to scrutiny, which is basically what science is about. Science is about taking an idea and testing it to destruction. If it destroys itself, then the idea isn't valid. If it stands up to repeated scrutiny, it'll win through and people will accept it because it can be demonstrated that things are the way that people have said they were.
So why can't people just tell the truth then?
A very good question. It would be so much simpler. But there are so many different things that are acting on them, like financial considerations, professional reputations, peer pressure. All these things force people to toe the line, to take the consensus view. I mean, take a more recent example, talking of consensus view. We're told that the consensus view is that man's activity is contributing to global warming, and if we don't stop some of this activity, the planet will heat up, the ice caps will melt, and we'll all drown. Well, that sounds pretty reasonable, that sounds pretty sensible, and we should stop doing things which may bring this about. A very commendable objective, until you start looking at this famous consensus, which isn't a consensus at all. There are many, many more scientists who disagree with the consensus than actually contribute to it. And so, as you say, why don't people tell the truth? Why don't scientists are supposed to be disinterested in political activity? Scientists are supposed to tell the truth.
Mark, as somebody who's really into conspiracy theories, and Nexus magazine is all about that, before the internet, was it a different world for conspiracists?
It wasn't so much a different world, it was a slower world, because it took longer for the information to circulate. With the internet, it's now possible to get information from hundreds of different sources almost overnight. Well, even just at the click of a mouse. You can put a title into Google and you can come up with millions of possible explanations, or not explanations, just sources of information.
But isn't that a problem as well, on what you said, on the basis of what you said, that people tell lies? The lies that are printed on the internet are just as bad.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. The internet is basically an unedited version of a daily newspaper, but much bigger. Daily newspapers have editors. They're the people who determine whether something should be published or not, and they have sub-editors who go out and check the facts. And if you're a newspaper reporter, investigative reporter, you have to check your facts. You have to make sure that what you say will stand up to scrutiny. With the internet, anybody can get online and make any statement they want to, whether it stands up to any form of scrutiny or not. And there lies the benefit of it, but also the danger of it. The benefit is the information is out there. The danger is, how do you make sense of it? How? Because you have to be your own editor.
So have more people become conspiracy theorists because of the internet?
Well, because they're exposed to much more information. Now, as you say, there is a danger here that people will accept what is written on the internet because it seems to carry some form of authority. It appears on their computer screen in front of them in the same way that, say, the BBC website will appear or the New York Times website will appear. And it appears to carry an authority because it appears. That authority has to be questioned. It's fine to read it. It's fine to... I mean, I've read some pretty weird and wonderful stuff. But you just store it away and say, OK, I've read that. Now, is that confirmed? Does somebody else come along and say, yeah, I can agree with that? Or does somebody come along and say, no, I don't agree with that, and here's the reason why? And then they go into an explanation. Right, it takes a lot of time to do it, but you have to come up with that. If you then accept without question some of the information that is appearing on the internet, you're going to get into serious trouble, because how do you argue the case to support something?
Tell me, is there, in your experience and in your life experience, and somebody who's interested in conspiracy theories, is there any story, which is a major story, that is simply black and white?
It's very hard to say if there's something that's black and white. I would say that one of the most interesting developments over literally the last few months is the whole climate change, global warming story. It appeared to have been settled. We heard the famous phrase, I think it was said by Al Gore in the promotion of his film, An Inconvenient Truth. The science is settled. Anybody who disagrees with it is a polluter. And you think, okay, well, here is somebody who is held a position of some authority, Vice President of the United States. He appears to have put a lot of effort, a lot of work, and he has a lot of information at his fingertips, far more than I do. And he comes up with this film, which he it's a very good film. It's a well-presented film, and it is scary. You think, hang on a minute, the temperature is going up fast. We're going to melt the ice caps. We're all going to drown. Come on, guys, let's do something. Look at those poor polar bears isolated on their little ice floe. No, they weren't. Polar bears can swim a long way, but that's another story. And then this was all settled. We were told the whole climate science issue has been settled. And then somebody, we don't know who it was, managed to acquire, shall we say, a whole heap of emails and databases from the Climate Research Unit at the University of East Anglia and anonymously posted them on the internet, on a Russian server, as it happened. Sent a few emails out to interested parties and said, have a look at this information. And everybody started looking at it, and we found there was another side to this story.
Which is what?
That information had been manipulated, that data allegedly showing temperature stations around the world where the temperature databases had been taken were not correct. For instance, there's a temperature station that is based in Rome, and it's been there for 100 years, and it was showing reasonable levels of temperature, and then suddenly a reasonable period of time the temperature started to increase. And well, obviously, this is evidence of man's activity. Yes, it was man's activity. This temperature station is actually by one of the airports in Rome. And it's quite close to the runway. And when you get a jet aircraft taking off, it tends to create quite a bit of heat. But this wasn't being taken into account. And some of the other emails were indicating that the scientists were trying to hide the decline, which they had identified, but they didn't want to talk about. They were not allowing scientists access to their data, even under freedom of information request activities, which is illegal in British law. If a Freedom of Information Act request is made, the scientist has to release the information. This is public property. But so there was a lot of manipulation, there was a lot of devious activity, and suddenly this came to light. The end of November of last year this happened, and look at the difference in approach now. Literally 4 months later, we have a completely different attitude to this whole thing because the facade of scientific invincibility has been attacked.
Well, why would they do this, Marcus? Why would scientists do this?
Well, you'd have to ask the scientists themselves. One can make an inspired guess at it and say...
Well, make an inspired guess.
That they wanted to protect their research income grants would be one.
God.
That they wanted to ensure that their peers within the scientific community of that particular branch, the climate science branch, did not think badly of them if they... spoke out against the consensus. I mean, it's like...
So they could then jeopardise the world for their pride.
Well, they have already done that insofar as the economic penalties that are being imposed on us now, the climate change cap and trade, whereby third world countries can sell their carbon emissions to, or the carbon emissions they're not making to the Western world where they are making them and they can trade these. And there's a lot of money to be made out of this. There are also these useless windmills that are being built all over the place. Because when the wind doesn't blow, they're not going to produce any electricity and we're going to get extremely upset if the power stations are not producing electricity and we can't listen to the radio or watch television or all the traffic lights go out one day. So whether you have, when you have windmills being built at £4 million a hit, subsidised by the domestic electricity consumer, when those don't turn, there have to be backup power stations. Now, the problem with that is that the nuclear power stations, which supply nearly 20% of our electricity at the moment, are being phased out because they're coming to the end of their useful life, but nothing is replacing them. We're told that windmills will take up the slack. That's absolute nonsense.
Marcus, an awful lot of money, though, in the world, an awful lot of people in the world are making a great deal of money out of being conspiracy theorists.
Some people do make money out of it by promoting a particular aspect, which isn't necessarily the only aspect. I mean, take one example. What is the biggest fear that most people will have in terms of health? Possibly that they will get cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer is, as most people will think of it, is a killer because there is no cure as such for it. But supposing all the research that has gone into cancer, and there's an enormous amount of research that's gone into cancer, and this is not to deny that many benefits have come from that research, but supposing a lot of that research is actually looking in the wrong area. Supposing cancer is a microbe, is a bacteria. It is something which was identified 100 years ago, that within a cancer cell, it can produce human growth hormone, which is a standard activity. It's added to milk. I mean, this is something. Human growth hormone is a routine thing. Now, if it gets into a particular cell, it will, by its name, it will grow. It will make that cell grow uncontrollably. It's basically all that cancer is. It's uncontrollable cell growth. Supposing the cause of it had been identified, but was not acted upon because certain scientists couldn't believe that that was the activity which was causing cancer.
But if somebody proved that, there would be an outcry in the world and somebody would be strung up by the neck.
You would have thought so, wouldn't you? But if I say that that had been proven, but is not being acted on, it's that particular line of research was suppressed. You can say that it was suppressed because there were more powerful voices talking and saying, no, we want to follow this line of research. I don't believe that the microbe theory of cancer is correct. Therefore, it will be ignored and not funded.
But, Marcus, people listening to this phone-in now, many, many thousands of people who have cancer and have lost loved ones with cancer, will be surely confused by this comment.
They will be confused. They will probably be upset. They might even be upset with me for even suggesting that a possible treatment for cancer had been available, but was not being acted on.
But surely then the national newspapers would pick up on something like that because it's so important and such a big story.
Well, that's what the hope would be, that they would pick up on it. But again, you then get the slightly cynical view, which one has to come up with because it's part of life, that if the advertising carried by a newspaper is funded by companies who, if the newspaper is attacking the work those companies are doing, the advertising may well be withdrawn and the newspaper may become financially unviable, they're not about to do it. So there is the basic business ethic at stake here, which is that don't bite the hand that feeds you.
So does that apply to an awful lot of situations in the world compared, tied up with television advertising, radio advertising, newspaper advertising? Is that all part of it?
It does. It's regrettable, but it does. It's a fact of life. It's not good. It's not bad. That's the way the world is. If we don't like the particular world that is propagated by that activity, then we have to either do something about it or ignore it. Now, having said that about the cancer microbe, the current issue of Nexus actually carries the article which mentions this. Now, we're not reliant on advertising to that extent. We'd like to have advertising, but it is not the be-all and end-all of the magazine. The magazine's purpose, Nexus magazine's purpose, is to put information in front of people.
So the article's in this month's?
It's in this current issue of Nexus magazine.
How do people get that?
It's on sale in large newsagents around the country, specifically Liverpool. Yeah, it's on sale in WH Smith. It's on sale in the major newsagents. And if you can't find it, you just click onto our website, nexusmagazine.com.
And if people buy that, I mean, for instance, have there been anybody out there that's tried to close your magazine down?
Not to my knowledge. I've been involved in Nexus in the UK for 15 years, and it was actually the first question I asked of the owner of the magazine, who lives in Australia. His name is Duncan Rhodes. And I said, if you ever, anybody try to close you down? He said, no, we're not big enough. Nobody cares about us. Or he said, yeah, they do care, and they like the information getting out there. Or somebody up there is protecting us, or nobody gives a damn. He said, you know, perm any one of those four, and you'll get the answer. No, nobody's trying to close us down.
One of the biggest, I don't know how to put this, petrol, oil.
Yeah.
Is there a conspiracy theory wrapped around cars that are powered by electricity? Is there another thing that's been invented instead of petrol that's been tucked away and bought out that we'll never know about?
It's possible. There are the famous stories of the car that runs on water. And there is a car that runs on water. And you think, wow, goodness me, what a wonderful thing that would be if you could have a car that runs on water. You'd just fill it up from your tap, wouldn't you? It is theoretically possible, because water comprises hydrogen and oxygen. Two of hydrogen, one of oxygen. If you electrolyze water, pass an electric current through it, you will get off those two component parts, hydrogen and oxygen. If you burn the hydrogen, you've got a motive power, and oxygen is the waste product. The problem is the commercial application of that. In theory, it can be done, and it has been done, but it's not commercially viable at this time, purely because nobody's actually come up with the invention, because there is not really a desire to finance it yet, and it would require a great deal of financing. One point on oil, everybody keeps telling us we're going to run out of oil any minute now, or in the next 10 years, or maybe even 20 years. In fact, I remember reading reports 20 years ago that we were going to run out of oil about 5 years ago. Doesn't seem to have happened. Because they keep discovering new sources of oil or new methods of finding it. Oil itself isn't a problem because it started life. If you want to believe the story, it's vegetation that has decomposed and been changed into this wonderful thing called oil, which can be refined and put in cars and we can all drive around the place. There is another story behind it, or another story which says that oil is a bacteria and it's self-generating, and we're never going to run out of it. But that's another story, and it maybe it's not what we have time for at the moment. There will be other means of transport. There are people who are researching it now. And this is a point I always come up against with this whole sort of doom-gloom scenario. Oh, if we carry on burning fuel in our car, if we keep on producing all this carbon dioxide, which, by the way, is a prime source of life. We need carbon dioxide. That's what plants breathe. It's all rather good that they can breathe it, because then we've got food to eat. If we go on burning oil, we're not going to run out of oil for a start, and we're not going to cause the planet to overheat. The planet is self-regulating. And anyway, most of the climate that we have, not the weather, the weather is when it rains, the climate is all the weather systems of the world put together. Those are driven by the sun, and the sun is the prime source of life on this planet. Take away the sun, we've all had it. There won't be any melting ice caps. There'll be frozen ice caps and frozen everything. So the sun is what drives this planet. And there's nothing us humans can do, really, to change that. And just as a point of interest, we were told that there was an iceberg the size of Luxembourg broke off in Antarctica. Well, Luxembourg is quite a big place. Quite a lot of people live there. Do you know that if you took every single person on the planet and stood them in one location, everywhere else would be empty of people, and that location is the Isle of Wight. The Isle of Wight is only 147 square miles. It's not particularly big. It's not much bigger than London, as it happens. If you stood everybody who's alive today on planet Earth, on the Isle of Wight, they'd be a bit squashed, but they'd all fit. So there aren't that many people around to cause this horrendous change of activity on planet Earth. We're being scared to death for political and economic reasons. And we should stop being scared to death and say, it's a great day. Let's not worry about it today.
One more question, Marcus.
Yes,
a big one. And Nexus is out in the shops right now. I find that fascinating, what you were saying about cancer. I really find that very interesting. I'll just say one word and then let you talk and then we'll finish. And the word is banks.
Banks. Oh, aren't they wonderful things?
You tell me your theory on that one.
Okay, here's your starter for 10. What is fractional reserve banking?
I'm no clue.
There you go. Ask now. Anybody who would like to have an amusing little incident, next time you go and visit your bank manager, ask him that question. Please explain fractional reserve banking.
Right.
Because that is the principle on which banks exist and on which banks make their money. Now, in simple terms, it's exactly what it says. It's a fraction of the reserve. We've all heard about how banks need to recapitalize, and that's where all this money has come from that the government lent them. They needed to recapitalize. Recapitalization of a bank is basically the money that the bank will have available at any one time to cover its liabilities. Now, a bank's liabilities are the loans it makes. Now, if you walk into a bank with £100 in your hand and put it on deposit with the bank, that bank will say, thanks very much, I'll give you 1%. So for every year that you keep that £100 in the bank, it will give you £1 of interest. It'll give you your money back if you ask for it. But the chances are that millions of people will have put money on deposit and not all of them are going to ask for their money back at any given time. Now, the bank will take the £100 that you have lent it, put it on deposit. It will add a naught to the end, and it will lend £1,000 based on the £100 that you have put on deposit. So it will pay, it will lend out £1,000, and it will say, for this loan, we're going to charge you 10%. So every year, you will pay £100 back in interest. And it will take that £100 of interest that you pay it back, which you've earned and you've had to work hard for, and it will lend another £1,000 out the next year, and so on and so on. Now, if you add several noughts onto the end of all those figures, you get some idea of the size of the bank's operation. So when you read that banks have made profits of £7 billion, £8 billion. That's after all its expenses and the few bad loans it's had to cover and the buildings it's had to pay for and the staff it's had to pay and the all the services that a bank will incur. Fractional reserve banking means that it keeps a fraction of the money on deposit and lends the rest. And what happened in the banking crisis is that the amount of money they had on deposit fell because they'd lent so much money out that went bad, went to money heaven, where, you know, when share prices fall, suddenly the money's gone. You know, you can't get it back. So they lent all this money out. It all vanished in these strange and weird financial instruments that they created. They were actually rocket scientists, believe it or not. This is not a joke. They were rocket scientists who invented the whole of the nonsense that went on, the CDOs and the exchanges and the mortgage problems that we had. They bundled up the mortgages and sold them on as securities, and they persuaded the securities agency to make them AAA-rated bonds when they were actually completely worthless. And suddenly they all went poof. Disappeared, money heaven, banks said, oh, panic, we got no money, can't cover our liabilities. Please, Mr. Government, give us the money. And they did. And that's where it all went.
Let me ask you, I've got to ask, and this is the thing that I don't understand, and I've spoken about this many times on my show. Right, a man will go and, I've forgotten his name, the American guy who's, did he commit suicide? And lost billions, or took billions. Where are those billions?
They were not...
It didn't exist?
They did exist at the time, and... is it Madoff you're talking
yes,
about?
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
Okay. He persuaded people that he had...
this was like the pyramid selling, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah. Pyramid selling. Yeah. That he would give them an enhanced rate of interest. Normal rates of interest are about 6%, 7%. I mean, that's what you'll get on a good day from a bank when interest rates are a little higher than they are now. He was saying that he could get 15 to 20%. Now, he spun an extremely good... He was a very, very good salesman. Mm-hmm. And he persuaded a lot of people that they should give him their money to invest and that he would then give them 15%.
And these were some of the most powerful people in the world.
Yeah.
Who he talked into.
Yeah, there were people who are household names. Mm-hmm. There were people who would be very well known.
Well, the one that jumps straight to me is Spielberg.
That's right. He
vast
was
amount
one of them.
Of money, vast he, amount yeah. of money. So where did all that money go? I know he had the most incredible lifestyle, the man, but where did the money go?
Or
wasn't it there?
It didn't go anywhere, because what happened was that he would spin this wonderful yarn and somebody would say, okay, here's $1 million. You're going to give me 15% each year. That's $150,000 a year you're going to give me. And he'd say, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. You take the $1 million from several people, 1 year, and the next year he would pay out the 15% mm-hmm. and take more money in, because suddenly everybody was convinced that this man was a genius, because he could produce 15% return right. on their money. And they would say to their friends, look, go along to Bernie Madoff, because he can really get that money back for you. And they would give him their money. And all he would do is just turn it over. It never actually went anywhere. Some of it went into his own pocket, and he lived a very nice lifestyle. It's known as a Ponzi scheme, whereby the money that comes in 1 year goes to pay out the people who'd invested the previous year. Now, after a while, you actually either run out of people who you can con into giving you their money,
yeah.
or... as in the case of Bernie Madoff, you actually admit it and say, sorry, it was all a scam. Wow. And he got arrested, 150-odd years in jail. Well, he's never going to see daylight again. And a lot of people lost every penny Well, that's not quite true. Some of the money was recovered. But I think it was $65 billion he claimed to have taken in. Mm-hmm. And there's about $5 or $6 billion that has been recovered.
So maybe, where would that other 60, has that been paid out as a teaser for the next people?
Yeah, that's right. It's been paid out. Right. It's just been recycled.
Right, I'm with you. Marcus, I've got to go. And you know, okay, I've spoke to you before and I could talk to you all night. I think you're a fascinating man. And my listeners will say it's the quietest they ever hear me when somebody like you comes in. You're an interesting man.
I love
it. Just briefly, tell us what's in this week's Nexus magazine.
Right, current issue of Nexus, we're looking at Iran and World War III, the possibility that it is an attack on Iran. China and Russia will come to Iran's rescue, or not rescue, they will side with them. So, like, lay off, guys, don't attack. Mainly because of oil business and shipbuilding and all the rest of it. The mystery spiral over Norway. You may have read about this. Google it. Blue spiral, Norway, will produce the pictures. It's an extraordinary image of a blue spiral in the night sky over Tromsø in Norway. What was it? It wasn't a rocket out of control, which is the story that has been told. Rockets don't do that. It's the HAARP project in the facility is 5 miles from Tromsø. The HAARP project, for anybody who hasn't kept up to date, this is your homework for tonight. Check it out. High Altitude Active Auroral Project. Ionospheric heating and communication. Aerotoxic syndrome. You're in an aeroplane, you're breathing air that's been recycled. Where's the air come from? It's the intake of the engines. If the oil seals are leaking, you're breathing in oil. You're also possibly breathing in organophosphates, which are used in aircraft engines to keep the thing under control. Aerotoxic syndrome, if you've ever felt ill on an aircraft, that's possibly why. The climate gate theory, we discussed that a little bit. The release of the emails 4 months ago about the IPCC, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, appears to have been misled, let's put it that way, by some of the scientists supplying the information. The science isn't settled. Let's have a look at it.
Marcus Allen, you're a fascinating man. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Late Night City with Pete Price on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.